East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session Number 1, Christ Lives in Me. Message Number 2, The Promise of the Spirit as the Blessing of the Gospel.
How about you take out your Bibles really quick, and let's read some from Galatians. Hallelujah for the book of Galatians. Let's all say the title of this training together. Christ lives in me. Again, Christ lives in me. Galatians is really a wonderful book. Actually, even this last spring at our house, we had a little bit of an RSG, a recovery version study group in the book of Galatians. And that was so enjoyable. The brothers coming over every Monday night and getting into Galatians, reading through the footnotes. We were really enjoying. So I was thinking how to start this time, and I was thinking maybe we can just read through Galatians 3. If it starts to take too long, I might stop us halfway through. But I think it's really good we see where we are in Galatians, okay? So how about we just do it this way? The brothers will read verse 1 and the sisters verse 2, and we'll just alternate back and forth through the chapter, okay? So let's start. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly portrayed crucified?
This only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of the law or through the hearing of faith?
Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?
Who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit, does works of power among you. Does he do it out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? Know then that they who are of faith, these are sons of Abraham. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
For as many as are of the works of law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law to do them."
And that by law,
no one is justified before God is evident. Because the righteous one shall have life and live by faith.
Amen. But the law is not of faith, yet he who does them shall live because of them.
Christ has
redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse on our behalf, because it is written, "Cursed is everyone hanging on a tree." Amen. How about we stop there just for time's sake? And that brings us up to the two verses that are listed here under the scripture reading, Galatians 3:13 and 14, speaking how Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse on our behalf, because it is written, "Cursed is everyone hanging on a tree."
Amen.
Praise the Lord, there's an in order. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen.
Well, this message on this line, Christ Lives in Me, is on the promise of the Spirit as the blessing of the gospel.
Amen.
And you know what's wonderful about Galatians 3 is like this is the first time the Spirit is mentioned in the book of Galatians. In chapter 1 and 2, it just speaks of Christ.
That's right.
And it reveals Christ in us, right? Paul had that revelation of Christ in him. And then in chapter 2, we see that Christ lives in us. But how does he live in us? How does Christ live in us? We say, Christ lives in me. How does he live in you? He's the Spirit. It's as the Spirit. Amen. And so just like we saw yesterday, we were born of the Spirit, and we need to continually receive the Spirit. Amen. All the time, we should be open receiving the Spirit. Amen. In all the good ways we had this morning, right? Calling, praying, pray reading, praising. We just receive the Spirit continually. Okay, but why should you receive the Spirit continually? Well, you have to appreciate the Spirit. And that's what I hope to leave you with this morning, is we would have all more appreciation of the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is the blessing.
Amen.
So I'll say that together. The Spirit is the blessing. There's nothing greater than the Spirit. The Spirit is the blessing.
Amen.
You know, today when people preach the gospel, sometimes they promise those who believe many things. But God promises what, Brother Brian?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. God promised the Spirit. And what's amazing is who did he make this promise to? Do you know who he made the promise to first? It was to Abraham. And you might think, well, that's good for Abraham, but what about us? You know, it's good Abraham got a promise, but what about us? Well, this is really something. Let's read number one together, Roman numeral one. The Spirit is the blessing that God promised to Abraham for all the nations, and which has been received by the believers through faith in Christ. And if you look up, I'll just read it for you for time's sake, Genesis 12:3. There the Lord said, I will bless those who bless you. And he who curses you, I will curse. And in you, that's in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed.
Amen.
What I really appreciated, there's a really good note here in Galatians, how, you know, if you've been around, you've heard about the four falls of man in the book of Genesis. And through these successive falls of man, eventually God gave up Adam's race, right? We're all familiar with that. And so who did he turn to? He turned to Abraham. He called out Abraham. So there was a turn from the Adamic families to the Abrahamic families, right? And so to some extent, you would be excluded. Unless you're a Jew, right? Unless you're a descendant, a physical descendant of Abraham, you might think, well, I'm excluded. That blessing was to Abraham. All the people in Adam have been abandoned. But what's really amazing, when God came in to make this promise to Abraham, he turned to Abraham in his calling of Abraham, but when he promised to Abraham, he actually turned back. There's another turn there that's really precious. He turned back to all the nations of the earth, and that includes us. If you're a human being, you're part of all the nations of the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so praise the Lord for the second turn, right? He not only turned to Abraham, he promised him something. And in that promise, there was something for all the nations. And let's read that. I'll read it to you here in Genesis. Well, I'm missing it. Well, in Genesis 12, right? Is it 12:7? No, that's the promise of the land. Well, anyway, there he promises that Abraham would be blessed. And in him, all the nations would be blessed. The blessing wouldn't just be to Abraham. That really impressed me a lot. So let's read A together. The physical aspect of the blessing that God promised to Abraham was the good land, which was a type of the all-inclusive Christ. So in Genesis 13, the Lord speaks about the land that Abraham would see, that God would give to him. And in chapter 17, he says, I will give to you and your seed after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. So there in A, we see that there was a physical promise also to Abraham, right, which was the land. And this land, praise the Lord, was a type. And if you're new here, you may not know what a type is. But a type is something that's full of significance. And so this land was not just a physical land, but it was a land full of significance. Okay, what was the significance of this land? It was the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
And O'Brien is going to develop this much more, but this all-inclusive Christ is typified by the good land. And this land that God promised to Abraham was really a good land.
Amen.
And, you know, due to kind of the hyping up of so many things, today when we say good, that's not doesn't seem that impressive, right? If something is just good, it's almost just like okay. But praise the Lord, this land is really good.
Amen.
We have to appreciate good this morning.
Amen.
Good.
Good
land.
Amen.
And so this land is good in several aspects. And this is from the book, The All-Inclusive Christ, which I would encourage you to read in your college years. You need to read this book called The All-Inclusive Christ. And in that book, you will gain much, much appreciation of the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
As typified by the good land. Did you read that in college, Matt?
Yes.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you remember why the land is good? Yes, that's the first aspect. It's spacious. Yes, that's right.
Stones,
iron, milk and honey, food. Amen. There's a lot of riches in this land. And all these riches are for us to enjoy. Just like today, you know, everything you're enjoying, you may not think about it, but it comes from the land. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but even your chair, Asher. You know where your chair came from? It came from the land, right? This carpet, where did it come from? The land, the walls. You know, everything that we enjoy on the earth comes from where? It comes from the earth, right? It comes from the land. And you might wonder, well, what about the air? Does the air come from the land? Yeah, actually it does. And if there were no land here, there wouldn't be any air here, right? Because the land holds in the atmosphere, right? So everything is really based on the land. And we have to see this really shows us Christ. Because this land that we're on is actually not the real land. And this was really driven home to me the first time I experienced an earthquake. You were there, Bill. Do you remember that earthquake?
I actually missed it because I came back this summer.
Okay, you missed it. Okay, well, there was this earthquake one time in Taiwan. And that really showed me that the land I was living on is not the real land. It's not that reliable because it can be shaken. But praise the Lord, our Christ is unshakable.
Amen.
He's so solid and reliable.
Amen.
And we really want to be built up in Him.
Amen.
Okay, let's read B together. Since Christ is eventually realized as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, the blessing of the promised Spirit corresponds with the blessing of the land promised to Abraham. So the land shows us the all-inclusive Christ. But eventually, to realize Christ, we have to receive Him and enjoy Him as the Spirit. So we realize Christ as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. And there's these wonderful verses in Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 15:45. We all know this one, right? The last Adam became a life-giving Spirit, speaking of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians, we see the Lord is the Spirit. And of course, here in Galatians 3:14, it's so obvious that the blessing we're receiving in Christ Jesus is the Spirit. Let's read 3:14 again together. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, in my Bible, I always like to, I tell this to the saints in Atlanta all the time, I always like to identify the triune God when I see Him in the Bible with three different colors. And so do you see the triune God in verse 14?
Yes.
Okay. Where's the Spirit? Yes. And where's Christ? In Christ Jesus. Okay, where is God in this verse? He's the giver of the promise. There you go. He's implied. It doesn't actually say God, but who's speaking here? God is. Who's making the promise?
God.
So we have to realize when we receive the Spirit, we receive the whole triune God.
Amen.
Never let anyone tell you God is not triune. He is triune for dispensing.
Right.
And He is triune that we could realize Him as the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the Spirit.
Amen.
And so in the Spirit, we really have all the blessing. Let's read C together. As the blessing of the gospel, the Spirit includes forgiveness, redemption, salvation, reconciliation, justification, eternal life, the divine nature, the uplifted and resurrected human nature, and the very triune God himself as the greatest blessing, dwelling in us in a most subjective way for our enjoyment. Praise the Lord. For our enjoyment in a most subjective way. So whenever you see subjective, you always have to think of experience and enjoyment. This is something for our experience and enjoyment. This is not just our doctrine that we have an all-inclusive spirit, but we want to enjoy such a spirit. And in this spirit, we have all these things. And just like has been mentioned, Brother Benjamin mentioned, is like it's not the cars. It doesn't say we have a car in the spirit or we have a mansion, but we have the triune God himself.
Amen.
Okay, let's read D together. The Spirit we have received as the blessing of the gospel is the all-inclusive compound spirit typified by the compound ointment in Exodus 30, 23 through 25. So if you turn to Exodus 30, this will be familiar to some and new to others, but there's another type. Praise the Lord for all the types in the Bible that show us our wonderful Christ and the experienceable spirit. So we had, well, first we had the good land, but here in Exodus we have another type, another picture, and that's the compound ointment. And the recipe is there in verse 23 and 24. Okay, let's read this together. You also take the finest spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, and of fragrant calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. So there we see there's five elements in this compound ointment. Did you pick them up? What's the first one?
Myrrh.
What's the second? Cinnamon. Then what? Calamus. Then what?
Cassia.
Then what?
Olive
oil. Right? So these five are all compounded together. That means they're all added. And when they're all added together, there's something compounded. And later on there, it tells us, where is this? About the perfumer. Yeah, where is that? Yeah, 25. And you shall make it a holy anointing oil, a fragrant ointment, compounded according to the work of a compounder. It shall be a holy anointing oil. In some places it says the work of a perfumer, which is indicating that this is so fragrant. And even in there's three adjectives there for three of the ingredients, right? You have flowing, and you have fragrant, and you have fragrant. And when it's all together, it's really fragrant. Praise the Lord for such a rich oil. And this oil, you see, also is related to the building. So it wasn't just something to experience individually, but it's really something for the building. And in this, we see something so all-inclusive. And so in the ingredients, let's say what they mean, right? We have the myrrh, which shows what? His death, right? Which is very precious. It shows his precious death, okay? Then what is cinnamon? The sweetness and effectiveness of his death. And then calamus is what? Yeah. Precious resurrection. And then what does the cassia show? The power, right? Actually, it's kind of the power of his resurrection. And this element specifically deals with the enemy. This was used as a snake and insect repellent. So in the wonderful death of Christ, many things were accomplished, right? And through his death and resurrection, we have such a wonderful spirit. And through this spirit, we are able to enjoy all the unsearchable riches of Christ, because he is realized as the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And Brian will continue on. We're tag-teaming on this message.
Let's have the brothers read the focus first at the second page and then the sisters. It's at the end of the message. Amen. Sisters.
The Spirit is the blessing of the gospel and the fulfillment of the good land promised to Abraham as our inheritance. We can walk in Christ as a good land by walking according to our mingled spirit.
Amen. Amen. So the blessing that Abraham was promised was physically a land and physically a son, his seed. But we don't live in the material physical realm. Well, we do live in that realm. But we don't only live in that realm. We also live in a realm that's divine and mystical. And in that realm, the son, his son Isaac, is our Lord Christ. And the promised land is Christ realized as the Spirit. Amen. Yeah, I was sitting here, I was thinking of a brother in San Diego. He often stands up in the meeting out of nowhere. That's where I'm from. And he says, "I am blessed and not depressed." And that really used to irritate me. quite frequently. "I am blessed and not depressed." And then about 6 months, the last 6 months, I've had internal and external things happen in my life and family. And I like to say, "I am blessed. I'm not depressed." Really been enjoying that. That brother's supply has been really good. Well, blessed, and he'll tell you too, the blessing is not material things. It's a common thing. Count your blessings. At the end of the year, it's common among believers. Used to be a little bit more, maybe in the past, but you count your blessing and you count all the blessed things that God gave to you. You know, oh, God bless you with a house. God bless you with a wife. God bless you with a car. God bless you with good job. God bless you with 5 good kids. One goes to Yale, one goes to Harvard, one goes to Princeton. One goes to Columbia. One goes to Georgia. See, then this one here, he doesn't have any of this. No kids, no job. What were you? No car. Still ain't married. No house. But you, all year long, we're drinking of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Are you depressed?
No.
No. Amen. So blessing is the Spirit.
Amen.
Of course, we thank the Lord. We have to thank the Lord for our physical thing. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy for my health. I'm happy for family. It really is a blessing. But that's not the ultimate blessing.
Amen.
That's not why the universe was made. Your awesome car was not why the universe came into existence. Neither your wife and kids. The universe came into existence that you could receive the blessing of the Spirit.
Amen.
That Spirit is the triune God.
Amen.
Oh, let's read 2 together. Right. Amen. So don't forget those verses that Benjamin gave us yesterday. I mean, there's key. The Bible has, do you know how many verses the Bible has? 31,102 verses. And it's got 1,189 chapters. I mean, I looked it online. It wasn't hard to figure that. I didn't count them all. But I did calculate, if you pray read 3 verses a day, it'll take you 28 years to pray read the entire Bible.
Wow.
I've been saved for 32 years. I could have done that. Anyways, Where was I in that thought? Key verses. Okay. So, okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, yes, key verses. So there are 31,000 or so verses, but there's some that are really particular. Who could deny that, right? I mean, there's some books in the Bible. Every book in the Bible is God-breathed. But if you want to spend your time in Obadiah for 1 year, pray reading Obadiah, I'm not going to say that's bad. But if you pray read Obadiah for a year and you pray read Ephesians for a year, you'd be a different person. Something would happen because there's a certain spirit in that word. Well, these verses on the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Where's that at? And now the Lord is that spirit. Where's that? That's right. Those particular verses. There's something about those verses that really opened to us the blessing that God has given us. Because the good land, which is typified by Christ, is experienced by us as the Spirit. So he mentioned, Vern mentioned, in Galatians, the first two chapters are on Christ. Christ revealed. Christ experienced. Christ crucified. Christ freeing us from the law. But then there's a shift from three to six. It's the Spirit. So in Revelation, it's Christ, but in experience, it's the Spirit. Okay, you can't separate the two. There's really a funny, we've been taught that the three of the divine Trinity are two separated. But the Galatians, when they received the Spirit, when they believed into Christ, they received the Spirit. The distinction was only in experience. Okay, you three brothers, come up here. You're going to be the divine Trinity. Okay, put your books down. Okay. You're the Father, you're the Son, and you're the Spirit. Okay, see, right away, there's three. That's your thought, right? The Father, Son, and the Spirit. Okay, and the Father now, these are sinners. Look at how bad those sinners are there. But you have a heart. You're the Father God. You created them to contain you. So send your Son. Okay, he goes. Good. Praise the Lord. And he goes, lives a perfect human life, right? Dies on the cross, is buried, drop it, there you go. Buried, 3 days. You know what he did for 3 days? He toured Hades, a three-day weekend. Friday afternoon to Lord's Day morning. Hotel Hades, that's what Brother Dick calls it. He walked through Hotel Hades and he checked out and took the keys with him. Because Revelation says he has the keys of death in Hades. Okay, resurrect. Oh, no. That's ascension. You're just resurrected this level. Then he ascended. Amen. And in ascension, he went back to the Father. Okay, give him a high five. Okay, come. Now, see, he tag team with the Spirit. And then the Spirit comes and pours himself out on everybody. Is that your thought? Be honest. Most of that's the common thought. The three, you know, where's the Son today? He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. Wrong place to be. At the right hand of God. And the Spirit is just this nebulous entity that's just kind of around. And if he gets into you, you'll do funny vibrational things. And maybe you'll speak in a certain language, a tongue. Or maybe you'll do these things. And the Spirit's kind of there. But that's not the way it is. Okay, it's good, right, brothers. Stay up here. When the blessing of Abraham came, all three of the processed triune God came. So in incarnation, when he sent the Son, they all came. See, they all came. There you go. Amen. Because Matthew says, unto us the child is... No, that's Isaiah. When the Son was incarnated, Matthew says that thing which is begotten of you is out of the Holy Spirit. But his name is called Emmanuel. His name is called, you're the Son. His name is called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Born of the Spirit, called Emmanuel, which is God with us. You see that? Then they all lived a perfect human life. When the Lord lived on the earth, he cast out the demons by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God was with him. And of course, all the time he was with the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Look at, they're just the Trinity. They're just a divine being. Okay, then they all went into death together, because Hebrews says that through the Lord offered himself through the eternal Spirit. And it was on the cross that the Lord said, Father, the Father forsook him economically. So they're all on the cross. And they all went into the grave. And they all resurrected. Okay, that's good. So, in our experience, when we touch the Spirit, and when we receive the Spirit, what do you get? Think about that. You get the triune God.
Amen.
You have never gotten anything less, Bill, than the triune God.
Amen.
You say sometimes, oh God, it's a million miles away. He's so far away. Don't you have that feeling sometimes? Oh, God is so far away. Well, the farthest away God can be is about 18 inches. That's from your mind to your spirit. If you could bridge that gap throughout the day, there's no problem. That's the farthest he could be. He's actually in us the whole time.
Amen.
When we're in our mind, we think he's far away. He's not that far. He's right in us. He's the blessing of Abraham.
Amen.
He's the Spirit. Okay, so A says the good land, the land of Canaan, is a full, complete, and consummate type of the all-inclusive Christ, who is the embodiment of the triune God, realized as the all-inclusive Spirit, as the inheritance allotted to God's people for their enjoyment. Well, I don't know if you have a top 10 list of verses. I happen to have a top 10 list. It's a personal list of the 31,102 verses in the Bible. Genesis 1:26 is in there. But my ultimate all-time verse is Colossians 2:9. You all know that verse? For in him? Right. Because that verse shuts the mouth of every religion, every present evil age thing. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. It dwelt in him in eternity. It dwelt in him in his incarnation, and it forever dwells in him in his glorified, resurrected body. So when we touch the Lord and touch the Spirit, we are all the time getting the triune God. He has not shortchanged us at all. And there's also a thought that when you're saved, it's not so much now. It was more popular when I was a younger brother and on the West Coast, maybe more than this area, kind of known as the Bible Belt. But that you needed to receive, you might have been born again, but you needed to receive the Spirit. You needed to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was very common. I'm a believer in Christ. Ah, but have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? See, three separated. The thought. And that gift was like an extra special gift of speaking in tongues. You all know what that is? And I'm not against, if you're a tongue speaker, praise the Lord for your tongue speaking. I'm not against it. I've actually had fellowship with brothers on campus that are tongue speakers. We've actually prayed together. I've tried to amen them while they were speaking in tongues. And then I would pray. And in one sense, it was neat because they never required me to speak in tongues. And I never required them to stop. So actually there was fellowship. Because that's not an item of the faith. But most of the time, they'll require you to do a certain thing to receive the Spirit. That is not the case. If you believe in Christ, you have the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Just real brief, I was thinking of a personal experience. I got saved, I told you yesterday, real brief. I got born again in a day. And about a week and a half later, a girl who was going to the Bible study invited me to this place where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't know nothing. I mean, I didn't even know the Bible. All I had was about 8 days of calling on the Lord and pray reading. I don't even know if I owned a Bible at that time. So I went there, and there was a congregation of about 150 people, and the pastor says, we have a special guest today. We would like you all to meet. And I was like, oh, this is great. And he starts to talk, and it's me. And he makes me come up in front of everyone. Think about this, 8 days or 10 days in Christ. He makes me stand up in front of all you. And he's going to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that I needed to have the gift. I didn't know anything. All I knew is that one day I was a sinner and my sins were forgiven and I was touching Christ. And I knew one thing. The brothers told me one thing. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you all the time. So I said, okay, that sounds good. I'll do that. And so he had me up there and he wanted to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to loose your tongue. I loosed my tongue in front of everybody. And he said, okay, I want you to speak in tongues. I mean, think about this. Eight or 10 days old in the Lord, I would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And he said, okay, loosen your tongue and say it. So just loosen your tongue and speak. And I was just, I didn't know what was going on. It was very fearful. And I said, Lord Jesus, I love you. So he called up I called them bouncer brothers, two big guys. And they were bigger than me. And he had me at a position 45 degrees, you know, back here. And they would support me. And then he came to lay his hands on me. You need to speak in tongues. Loose your tongue. And I said, Lord Jesus, I love you. He said, the Lord knows that you love him. Loose your tongue. I just said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I really wanted to. If there was a way to do it, I would have done it. You know, I was a failure. I just kind of whisked off the stage and went back to my seat. I didn't even know what just transpired. You don't need that. You don't need any gift. The gift is the Spirit. Amen. Given to us. Okay. B, the riches of the good land in Deuteronomy 8 typify the unsearchable riches of Christ in different aspects as a bountiful supply of his believers. You have to read Deuteronomy 8:7 with that note. Real quick here. C, we must allow adequate time for prayer, which enable us to absorb more of the riches of Christ. He's the good land, so we need time for prayer. And so it's really good. There seems to be a little bit of a theme starting in the college training of touching the Lord in the morning, spending some time in prayer, going on the gospel, spending some time in prayer. I mean, it seems like this is happening. It's happening throughout the whole recovery, really. So we want to set aside a definite time. Our brother mentioned that this morning. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business. Nothing should be allowed to interfere with it. We must remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit. Exercising our spirit. That's our divine bicep muscle I mentioned yesterday. And so there's a lot of ways to do that, but I think the word's pretty clear to continually do it. I mean, that means doing it unconsciously, is by breathing the Lord's name, which we call calling on the Lord's name. I hope even now while I'm up here, you're inwardly calling on the Lord's name, breathing the Lord, and then praying to him, and also pray reading the word. Pray reading, that was one of the things mentioned this morning. It's hard if we just pray from our memory to sit down and pray. It's not that hard if we take something from the Word as a springboard. Okay. You know, so even if you know you have an item to pray for, it's really hard to sustain it. But if you use it, if you use something in the Bible and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us. Amen. You begin to pray that. Lord, you gave yourself up for us. For us, you gave yourself up. Then that might issue into a prayer for the gospel, a prayer for your family. And it has some weight. It has some sustainability in your prayer. So breathing the Lord, calling on his name. Then D, having the full assurance that the all-inclusive spirit, as the good land, is mingled with our spirit. We know that. Our need today is return to him to set our mind on the spirit. And to walk according to Spirit. Amen. We hit that again this morning. Right? Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Here's our mind. It's wandering. It's going all over the place. We recognize it's hard to control. We're learning to do that. We're developing the skill to captivate our thoughts. It takes time. and it's wandering. And here's the Spirit. We set our mind on the Spirit. And there's so many verses. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Amen.
Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. It's all there because if he could get our... You know, the battle in the universe is for the mind. Welcome to college campuses. There is an institution in America that wants one thing, your mind. And if he could get it, then he's got it. And there's one thing God wants, your mind. And if he could get that, he's got it too. It's just the battle of the mind. The mind being what? Our person. Not just our brain anatomically. It's our person. It's our thinking. So if we know that the battle's there, then we know how to fight. And we fight by touching the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
Exercising our spirit. Setting it. You know, the minute you say, "Oh Lord Jesus," your mind is starting to turn to the Spirit.
Amen.
It's really awesome.
Amen.
Nothing in the New Testament is more central, crucial, and vital than walking according to the mingled Spirit. So in the morning time, we're practicing our time with Christ. And then we're practicing throughout the day of walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Continually setting our mind on the Spirit. This was an awesome experience when I first became a believer in Christ, that a person lived in me, an actual person lived in me. I was getting to know it. It was a neat sensation, and it was most evident when I went shopping. Brothers shop too, and I would go shopping to look for something, and I'd pick it up, and I'd have a woozy feeling here. This is way before I even knew about the Spirit. You know, that doesn't feel good, this thing. So I'd put that down, and I picked this one up, and I felt like butterflies and happiness. And that's all I can describe. What are you going to do? I felt good. Oh, I put it down, but I really wanted this thing. I really wanted that thing. And it wasn't sinful. See, because I thought a Christian abstained from bad things and did good things. That's what a Christian does. I didn't know that life, bad and evil, are on the same source. I'd pick this back up, but this is really nice. But see, I happen to like ties. I like ties. So when I picked up a really, really nice tie that was a little bit wilder than probably what I should get, there was something in me that said, well, I don't even know if it's said. It gave me that koozie. So I put that down, and I pick up another tie that probably wasn't my choice, but I felt good about it. And from that experience, I began to learn to walk by the Spirit. I said, oh, this is what it means to be a believer. You don't walk by whether the thing is right or not, or whether the thing is evil. You walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's just one simple situation with me. And that's we have those experiences all the time, don't we? All the time. All the time we're faced with situations that require us to touch the Lord in our spirit. We have the full permission. We have the full legality to do a certain thing because it's not sinful. But there's a check in us. That's the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. And we practice that. We practice this. We build up this habit, this habitual living. Okay, I will just read 2 and 3. The Greek word for walk means to live, act, move, and have our being. Thus, to walk in Christ is to live, move, act, and have our being in Christ.
Amen.
That's pretty much the totality of human life. If you walk by the Spirit, live, and act, and have your being, that's us. That's our makeup. That part of our being needs to be led by the Spirit. That part of our living needs to be led by the Spirit. It's a cumulative, and we experience it in degrees, but we're learning it. In this way, we shall experience Christ and enjoy Him as the good land, the all-inclusive Spirit dwelling in our spirit to be our life, our person, and our everything. Okay, so let's just read Romans 3 together.
All right. of the processed and consummated triune God for eternity.
Amen. Okay, we have about